A key decision on race in the workplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. A ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court today could affect employment practices nationwide. The High Court has decided that white firefighters in New Haven, Connecticut, were unfairly denied promotions because of their race. The city ended up scrapping a promotion exam because no African Americans and only two Hispanic firefighters were likely to be made lieutenants or captains based on the results. Today's decision could limit lawsuits against employers when there's no evidence of intentional discrimination. We could find out in the next hour or so how much time Wall Street swindler Bernard Madoff has to serve for the costliest investment fraud in history. Witnesses testifying this morning at his sentencing hearing are telling the judge their lives will never be the same. Federal prosecutors want the maximum time, 150 years. Madoff's lawyers say 12 is enough. By last count, his victims had invested roughly $65 billion with Madoff, but as Ashley Milne-Tite reports, they shouldn't count on getting much of it back.
For one thing, given Madoff's accounting shenanigans, that $65 billion number could be wildly inaccurate. Jerry Reisman is a lawyer for some of Madoff's victims. He says Madoff's liquidated assets will only cover a fraction of investors' losses, like the retired doctor from Florida who recently consulted Reisman.
He had about $11 million with Madoff, lost that, is forced to sell his home, and has taken a job as a security guard at Publix.
A supermarket chain. The Securities Investor Protection Corporation, or SIPC, works to recover funds when a brokerage firm fails. Reisman says it's going after some of the Madoff feeder funds.
But they themselves lost fortune, so it's going to be very difficult to procure any great recovery on behalf of these victims.
Madoff investors have until July 2nd to register a claim with SIPC. Depending on the size and type of their investments, they could get back a maximum of $500,000. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Wall Street is beginning the week optimistically. The Dow is up 1% at this hour. The Nasdaq is up 0.33%. The S&P 500 higher by 0.8%. London's FTSE, Frankfurt's DAX, and the Paris CAC 40 are all higher as well. The Apollo Group reports earnings later today. That may not be a familiar name, but Apollo operates a very familiar company, the University of Phoenix. Things are looking pretty robust for one of the world's largest online educators. As Stacey Vanek-Smith reports, for-profit schools are rising from the ashes of the economy.
One university understands how you live today and where you want to go tomorrow.
Enrollment is up 20% this year at the University of Phoenix. It has nearly 400,000 students, most of them in cyberspace. And practical, trade-oriented programs like Phoenix's are what people want right now, says Terry Hartle with the American Council on Education.
During periods of economic stress, fields of study with clear occupational outcomes are the most popular with students.
Trade schools also offer flexibility, says Martin Vanderwerf, director of research services at the Chronicle of Higher Education. He says online classes are easy to fit into your schedule. And he says schools like the University of Phoenix and ITT Tech have relationships with employers and can tailor training programs to existing jobs.
The transaction between students and higher education has become much more of a retail transaction.
The downside? Cost. Vanderwerf says tuitions are high at commercial trade schools, and most students have to take out expensive private loans. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Honduran leaders who ousted their leftist president in a military coup over the weekend are vowing to resist diplomatic pressure to restore him to office. The more pertinent question may be, can they deal with economic pressure the U.S. or other nations might bring to bear? We spoke this morning to Professor Terry McCoy at the University of Florida's Center for Latin American Studies. He says the country is already in dire economic straits, and much of that stems from a lack of money sent home by Hondurans who've come here to the U.S. seeking work.
Those Hondurans who are in the United States now are in service industries, construction, and heavy layoffs in those areas meant that these people are losing their jobs, which means they have less income to send home.
I'm looking at an AP photo of a supporter of the ousted president in front of a street bonfire, and I was struck by the fact that in the background is a familiar American corporate logo, the golden arches of a McDonald's.
Yeah.
So the U.S. really does wield a lot of influence down there.
Yeah, I mean, Honduras, like most all Central American countries, is closely linked to the United States and has been historically. Hondurans are quite familiar with U.S. consumer goods. Many of them either have relatives or friends in the United States or have visited themselves. And so Hondurans and their economy are closely linked to the United States.
So given that, the fact that the U.S. has looked very unfavorably so far on this coup is going to be pivotal, yes?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens now, because there's been universal condemnation of the coup throughout the Western Hemisphere. Secretary of State Clinton and President Obama have both spoken out against it. So I think there's going to be a very solid block criticizing and demanding that Zelaya be restored to the presidency.
Terry McCoy is a professor at the University of Florida Center for Latin American Studies. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
Finally this morning, talk about your sales volume. According to Fortune magazine, this guy's marketing business has, shall we say, really cleaned up over the years, promoting more than $1 billion in combined sales. That's what you call plenty of sales volume.
Hi, Billy Mays here.
Hi, Billy Mays here.
Want to know the best way to get your stains out in the wash?
Order right now, and we'll double the offer. Just pay shipping and handling to get this incredible offer.
He was known by the millions who saw him on TV as that bearded, booming pitch man. Billy Mays died yesterday at his home in Tampa, Florida. An autopsy is scheduled. He was 50 years old. One testimonial I spotted on a blog this morning may explain how he made so much money. It says, OxiClean doesn't really do anything helpful, but Billy Mays really brightens my day. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Your feedback is always welcome at marketplace.org. And thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.